Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your call. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Well, hello, 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 and welcome today to All Paws Pet Talk, the radio show for pets and about pets, but not necessarily run by pets. I'm Deborah Martin, your host for today, and it's our standard operating procedure to bring you interesting and informative things to chew on. I'd like to welcome all of our listeners from all over the country, as well as our internet visitors. And don't forget to visit our website, too, at www.allpawspettalk.com if you have any questions for our pet experts, or if you'd like to suggest a topic. We have a power-packed show planned for today. So on that sweet note, I'd like to welcome my very first guest. She's wonderful, Dr. Karen Gellerman. She's an expert in something called equine sports medicine, which sounds fantastic. Please welcome Dr. Karen. Hello, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
And
so I'm a veterinarian who does integrative veterinary medicine, and I work for both pets and for horses.
Fantastic.
Equine sports medicine is my equine practice, but I also have a practice for small animals. It's called the Wellness Center for Pets, and I see dogs and cats mostly. I'm not very good at exotics.
Ah, okay. So you basically are an expert in posture, aren't you? Postural rehabilitation. Tell
That's
us a bit.
That's my about special interest. Yeah.
So
what we find is that a lot of domestic animals are living a lifestyle that interferes with a very simple thing like standing up straight, and that when you have a long term postural abnormality, it starts affecting how your health is managed. And what we see a lot in pets is like orthopedic problems. So, for instance, many dogs who are diagnosed as having hip dysplasia are really having a postural problem where they're putting so much weight on their hind end that they have a difficult time getting up and moving forward. And you can change those things without changing their hips at all. And sometimes it can seem almost like a miracle cure.
Wow, it's amazing. Well, what are the sort of things then that would cause that kind of a problem? I actually do have a Great Pyrenees who's been diagnosed with hip dysplasia, and we certainly don't keep her in a crate or anything like that. She runs, we've got acreage, you know, she runs free, but she has had this since she was a pup.
Right. So, you know, the thing is that hip dysplasia as a diagnosis, when you have a radiograph done on a young dog, like probably your dog has, and it says, oh, this dog has hip dysplasia, we have changes in what the joint looks like, it doesn't fit into the socket as well as it does, those radiographic changes don't appear to correlate very well with how lame the dog is. So it's a kind of a mystery in our previous paradigm of veterinary medicine, because here you have a dog who by all means shouldn't be walking, and he's running and playing and doing 20 miles a day and killing groundhogs.
That's
and
exactly
then you
right.
have another dog. Yeah, and you can have another dog whose hips look perfectly beautiful and they're crippled lame. So the actual hip dysplasia diagnosis isn't necessarily going to affect your dog's health. But what we find is that living in an urban environment, a lot of dogs with restricted exercise, and the key thing for our practice is looking at how long the dog's toenails are, which most people think is a cosmetic thing. But in fact, when a dog's toenails get so long that they touch the ground when they're on level ground, it sends the brain a distorted signal about standing up on the ground. So normally, I know, isn't that interesting?
That is fascinating.
The only time a dog's toenails would actually contact the ground and push up into the nail bed would be when they were climbing a hill. So the brain reads the pattern of the pressure of the toenails as them standing on a hill. So they adjust their body weight to be appropriate for standing on a hill, only they're standing on level ground. So, you know, if you can imagine standing on a hill, how you kind of lean up the hill, and when you do that, your legs are perpendicular to the center of the earth. If you tried standing like that on level ground, you'd fall on your face.
Sure, you would.
You then get a secondary postural compensation with the hind end. So the front end is standing back because of the long toenails. Then the hind end has to counterbalance in order to not fall down. And that counterbalancing of the hind end overloads the hind end of the dog or the horse. Works the same for horses.
Sure. Oh, that's absolute genius. So basically, all the things that we think we know, we don't know anything, right?
No, I think people understand it when they feel it in their bodies. So if a client is having a hard time understanding this, I either have them stand on a hill, or even you can take a big book and put it on the ground, and put the front part of your foot up on the book and feel what kind of changes your body makes to accommodate having your foot at an angle like that.
Oh, totally.
And that kind of tells you,
this is extraordinary.
Tells you what your body is doing.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, not to put too fine a point on it, but about 8 years ago I broke a toe. Quite badly. It was so badly broken it took a long time to heal, and for a long time I walked with a cane. And all sorts of weird things happened to my body as a result of that. At one point, believe it or not, I went to a chiropractor and he said it was because I was wearing one sock on the bad foot, and just that quarter of an inch or eighth of an inch was throwing my back out of whack. So
yeah, it's pretty interesting. And the thing is that, you know, gravity works all the time. It doesn't take any vacations. So if you're having a stimulus on your body that's there all the time, that tends to be a lot more meaningful for the body's wear and tear than the athletic activity. So we think that dogs get hurt when they're running around, but in fact, sometimes they really get their legs messed up by standing in an inappropriate way, and that sets themselves up for an injury. So I don't know if you know dogs who have had cruciate tears.
Oh, yes.
Right? So a cruciate tear usually happens when the dog kind of plants that back leg and spins on it. So that's a normal movement for a dog. But I think what happens in a lot of dogs that are putting too much weight on their hind end, so let me just backtrack a second and say that the biomechanical research shows that dogs carry about 60% of their weight in the front end and 40% behind. Yeah. So dogs are using their hind legs primarily for locomotion and their front legs primarily for support. So they are rear-wheel drive automobiles.
Yeah.
And if they're putting too much weight on their hind end, the body doesn't have time to repair all the wear and tear that's going on those limbs. So when they get challenged, like by sitting and spinning or jumping off a truck, they're more prone to have a catastrophic injury that is a tendon tear, a broken bone, a bone chip, that kind of thing.
Sure. That's fascinating, and I'm sure there's far more to this than we can discuss in this short little time that we have allotted to us, but I expect it has extraordinary ramifications with, like, the horse. Do you heal racing horses, or is it?
I work on all different kinds of horses, because, you know, a horse is a horse is a horse, and
that's
they're
true.
Far more the same than they are different. So, you know, you could take a racehorse or a Shetland pony, and they have a lot in common and very little differences between them. Mm. And the toenail situation is pretty much the same for horses as it is dogs, except they look different. So the horse has a hoof instead of a foot with lots of toenails on it.
Yes, so they have similar balance problems and similar hip issues and that sort
of
thing if they're not properly balanced on the floor. Well, that's just absolutely fascinating. What got you into this, Dr. Karen?
Oh, I have a colleague and very dear friend, Dr. Judith Shoemaker, who is absolutely a brilliant clinician. And she had figured out over the years a way to get top performance horses sound by resetting their posture. And she was like the first person who ever noticed this stuff. Meanwhile, I was doing my graduate work in biomechanics, and we got together somehow, And she was fascinated with the work that I was doing, researching the horse's neck. And I was fascinated with the work that she was doing, making these horses perfectly sound who had been crippled lame for years.
Mm.
So we got together and started doing research and teaching together. And now we teach a course along with my friend Liz Reese, who is an Alexander Technique teacher. And the three of us teach a course for veterinarians and chiropractors from around the world to teach them how to recognize and to help abnormal posture.
Oh, that's brilliant. Well, please do give us your website, because I know that our listeners will be fascinated and want to follow up on it. And please do come back and visit us again, too. There's so much more to talk about.
Oh, I'd be happy to.
Yes, where indeed can we reach you online?
The website for postural rehab is postural rehab, that's rehabilitation, posturalrehabvets.com. And my website is IthacaPetWellness.com.
That's Ithaca, I-T-H-A-C-A, is it?
A-C. I-T-H-A-C-A.
Okay.
Wellness.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Doctor. We've been talking with Dr. Karen Gellerman, and I think that you're wonderful, and I love what you do, and do come back again. We're just going to take a break now, so don't go anywhere, everybody. We will be right back.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com, order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Do you have a dog?
Yes, ma'am.
What kind of dog?
Well, folks, welcome back to All Paws Pet Talk, and to me, Deborah Martin, your host. I'm glad you're all back from the kitchen or wherever you went these last few minutes, and I hope you had the radio turned up loud enough so that you could hear those interesting messages above the din of your rummaging about in the fridge. Now, my next guest is very exciting. He's been on the show before, and we're pleased to have him back. He's quite an adventurer, and he's a celebrity in horse circles. He has a TV show called The Horse Show with Rick Lamb. So please welcome Rick Lamb. Hello, Rick.
Hello, Deborah. How are you?
I'm doing so well. How about yourself?
Just great. Thank you so much.
Good. And since we last chatted, I believe the last time we chatted, you'd been in Iceland. Where have you been since? I know that you've been up to lots of things.
Well, the most exciting thing recently is the big colt starting contest that I host each year in Tennessee called Road to the Horse.
Ah.
And we did that. It was an international event this year. We had an American team, a Canadian team, and an Australian team competing, and the Aussies won. So it was
exciting. That is exciting. I mean, not that, you know, we should be surprised. but it's fantastic. Now, I was on your website earlier today, thehorseshow.com, and you have a really huge TV archive section. And I wanted to just mention this to the listeners, because I know that our listeners would love to log onto your website. And you can click on all sorts of different things like aromatherapy for horses, Arabian costumes and herding dogs, Rude and Riddle, I don't even know what that is, Faraway Stallions, On Target Training. It's absolutely a treasure trove.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Well, that's what we try to do. I think our little niche in this giant horse industry is that, you know, we're a variety program. We've always been that way on radio and on television. And I've always had one criterion, and that was if it interested me, it was fair game for radio and television. And my listeners and viewers have always responded to that. So it's working for us.
Indeed, and you do a great job. And we wanted to chat today a little bit about finding the perfect, ideal dream horse. How does that work for somebody? Let's say I've got an 18-year-old daughter, and she loves horses, and she's always nagging me to get one. So let's say I'm a customer, and I want to get the perfect horse. What would I look for?
Well, the big thing you have to understand is the horse that is right for your daughter or for you or for me, those could all be very different horses. There is no one ideal horse. And it really kind of depends. The biggest factor, Deborah, is the amount of experience and confidence that the person has, because that needs to be an inverse relationship to the horse. And what I mean by that is if you have a very young horse, that is very inappropriate for a beginning rider. You need to have an older horse with a lot of experience for a beginning rider. The flip side of that is what I just mentioned earlier, this colt starting contest in Tennessee, Road to the Horse. That takes the very best horsemen, in this case, from around the world, and has them competing in starting young horses. In other words, horses that have no training, no experience with humans. So that's again, that sort of inverse relationship where the human has a lot of experience. That's what's needed if you're dealing with horses that have very little. So that's the first thing. You really need to have a horse with a lot of experience if you're just starting out, and that typically means an older horse. Now, the big mistake that a lot of people make is they choose with their heart instead of their mind. And what I mean by that is they fall in love with a pretty horse or with the idea of, in my case, a golden Palomino, because that's what Roy Rogers rode when I was a kid. And so they have stuck in their mind that this is the kind of horse that's right for them, not taking into account what kind of experience, what kind of temperament, what breeding this particular horse is, and even more important than all of that is what their level of experience and their commitment to this is. A lot of times people end up adopting horses that are rescue animals, and they don't have the skills or the facilities even to really do a good job of taking care of that horse and training it and giving it a good life. So I always say choose with your brain and your heart will follow, because if you get a horse that actually fits you, you will grow to love it no matter what it is.
Indeed. Indeed. And they're such extraordinary animals, aren't they? I know that some people think that horses are just big dogs, but they're unique in and of themselves.
They really are, and that's a huge thing. There's two big problems. One of them is people are so familiar with dogs that they just kind of assume that the horses have a similar temperament, a similar psychology, and actually they're very, very different, because horses fall broadly into the category of prey animal. Dogs, on the other hand, are hunters and meat eaters. They're predator animals. So the psychology of the two species is very different. Now, that's not to say that they can't both be trained using the principles of operant conditioning, which basically means rewarding behaviors you want to see repeated and punishing behaviors that you don't want to see repeated. That's pretty much a universal concept. But what motivates horses and what motivates dogs are very different things. The other thing that people a lot of times get into is that sort of wrong thinking about horses is they anthropomorphize. And what I mean by that is they kind of assume that a horse has a similar mindset and a similar set of values, quote-unquote, if you will, that we do. In other words, if we're cold, then the horse must be cold. If we like a nice, cozy place to get in out of the weather, then maybe a horse wants that same thing. Where horses, evolved out on the open plains, and they need to be out in the open. They need to be with others of their own kind. That's part of the psychology of that species. So we always say in the natural horsemanship world, the first thing to do is really make a study of what the horse is as its own unique animal species and appreciate that for what it is and not try and make it something it isn't.
You know, that's genius. And I think that applies with all animals, with dogs as well. You know, when you get a dog, it's not just a little person in a dress that you can parade. I mean, they actually do have their own uniqueness, don't they, as a species?
Oh, they absolutely do, and that's why I think horses are still relevant, you know, in modern times. It's been over 100 years since Henry Ford. I always kind of put 1908 as the time when the horse changed in its relevance in modern life, because that's when Henry Ford started making the Model T, mass-producing it. Horses were put on the road to obsolescence at the same time those early Model Ts were putting on the road out on the roads of America. But they're back today. They're growing in popularity. It's a growing industry because they fill a different niche. They provide a quality kind of a thing instead of a quantitative role in our lives. And people are really responding to that. The sad thing is that so many people come into the horse industry and then get discouraged because they get stuck with the wrong horse. And but when I say stuck, I'm using that term deliberately because a lot of people do feel once they end up with a horse that doesn't fit them, they can't make a change. They feel they've made an obligation. They feel like they're abandoning an animal that nobody could ever love it or treat it as well as they did. They feel like a failure. They feel if they could only get a little bit more education or a little bit more savvy themselves, that they could fix this problem. And it's kind of like that pair of jeans you buy that's a size too small that hangs in the closet for months because you've never lost that 10 pounds you thought for sure you were going to lose. So many people get a horse thinking that, you know, someday I'll be able to do this stuff with it. And that day never happens, and it becomes a big burden on them. And it really weighs them down. So I always say, if you've made a mistake, make a change.
Indeed. That's words of wisdom from Rick Lamb. Thank you, Rick. We've been chatting such a long time, and I've completely forgot to look at the clock, so we have to go to break. But please come back again and chat with us some more, because you're a fascinating guy, and your show is tremendous. We'll be right back, folks.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Deborah Martin for All Paws Pet Talk. Now, you know that All Paws Pet Talk's goal and mission is to save the lives of homeless pets and really any animals in need. So if you go to our website at www.allpawspettalk.com, you can find out more information about our team of experts, and you can actually send in questions as well for our guests. You know that Vladdy's on there, and our last guest, Doug, who has invented this extraordinary system where, well, I don't know if he's invented it, but he's certainly the overseer of it. And you can have a website for your pet, or you can also link to your charities, which is pretty incredible. And we also believe that it's not just about charities and heroically snatching our beautiful furry friends from the jaws of the shelters. We also believe that this can begin at home with us, the pet owner, the animal lover, being better informed and making healthier choices. So in that vein, I'd like to introduce you to my next guest, who has an excellent product called Healthy Goo, which miraculously stops itching due to allergies. Stephen, are you there?
Oh, and good afternoon to you and your readers.
And good afternoon to you as well. Welcome to All Paws Pet Talk. And tell us all about Healthy Goo. I think there's one of my dogs in the family, because we're coming to you from Florida at the moment, so I'm in this belt of huge trees and lots of allergens, and my Great Pyrenees is a bit itchy lately. So tell me what I can do to fix that.
Well, as we know, as two-legged creatures of this world, we're in a very strong, nasty allergy season. But what many of our dog owners don't realize is that our dogs suffer from the same pollen, dust mite, and molds that we do.
Interesting.
And with allergies, we manifest allergies through our respiratory, congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and such. But with our four-legged furry friends, our canine friends, it manifests through the skin and the ears. and principally behaviorally through constant itching, biting, scratching, and paw chewing.
Mm. And that's very hard to experience when you love our beloved pet and you see them and they're in such distress, and you know, we need help from you. What do we do?
Yes, hugely so. Typically allergies, which are very genetically predisposed, again, between humans and animals, we share a lot of similarities, and one is certainly the genetic predisposition to allergies. But what can we do? When you visit your veterinarian for an itchy pet, unfortunately, the options are rather slim. And what I mean by that is that you have the possibility to suppress those itchy symptoms with medicines, but it's only short term, and unfortunately, it leaves the dog's immune system suppressed and vulnerable to secondary health issues, because by suppressing the itch symptoms, you suppress the entire immune system. And at the end of the day, it just masks the symptoms and doesn't get to the source of the problem. And if you do wish to go to the source of the problem, it typically requires you visiting a veterinary dermatologist. Mm. And they're the equivalent of our allergists for our canine population. And they're all about identifying the offending allergens with a skin test, and then the recalibration of the immune system is achieved or accomplished by allergy shots.
Yeah, so what you're saying is you don't just treat the symptoms by covering them up. I mean, it's the same with humans, isn't it? We also have the same thing. If you have a headache and you just take aspirin, you know, maybe you feel a bit better for a few minutes, but you haven't ascertained what's the cause of the headache. And it's, you're saying the same thing. It's like, you know, just, okay, yes, we could give them something that could make them feel a bit better temporarily, but we still wouldn't have solved what they're allergic to.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. And whether you're medically trained or business trained or just plain old want to get your dog better with allergies, it's so important to focus on the source of the problem. And it's exactly that challenge that Dr. Kristen Holm, who's our medical director, who's also a veterinary dermatologist, and I focused on our product called Doggy Goo. Now, The name sounds cute and playful, but please be assured, Doggy Goo is all veterinary dermatologist business, especially when it comes to fighting pollens, dust mites, and mold spores. Mm. And one of the main frustrations that Dr. Kristen has had in her practice is that she knows allergy shots work, clinically proven, get to the source of the problem, but unfortunately, the best therapy or treatment in the world is rendered useless if the patient is non-compliant.
Yeah.
Now, you know with animals, we not only have to worry about an animal patient compliance, but it also, too, the therapy treatment has to be friendly for the pet owner. Because if the pet owner isn't able to do it, easy to do it, willing to do it, that beautiful treatment doesn't transfer to the animal, even though they may like it.
Yes, of course.
You might find it interesting, again, going back to our cute and playful name, Doggy Goo, we achieve the clinical benefits of allergy neutralization, but we have introduced a pet-friendly and also pet-friendly or pet-owner-friendly method of delivering our allergy ingredients with peanut butter.
Oh, brilliant. That's brilliant.
And, well, thank you. The goo in Doggy Goo is an all-natural peanut butter. And we tell the pet owner to take a small amount of Doggy Goo based on the dog's weight and whether they're allergy stressed or not, and spread it thinly on a plate or bowl such that the dog has to repeatedly lick, lick, lick up their Doggy Goo. Now, there's method to the goo madness here. And what I mean by that is, rather than introducing the allergy ingredients into the dog's immune system by injection, we're bringing, with every lick, small amounts of the allergy ingredients into the dog's mouth, where they are absorbed through the very thin skin of the mouth directly into the blood.
Oh, so it's virtually sublingual. It's virtually sublingual. It's a similar idea that, you know, when you put cell salts under your tongue, and it's effective because it goes in the very, very thin, you know, it's easy to get into the bloodstream from that point. So that's how you're introducing.
You are spot on with that. Exactly. So. And it is that sublingual delivery that is not only pet owner friendly because it's a tasty treat for the dog, but it's also too dog friendly because they love peanut butter.
They do.
And also, too, you know, going to your comment on the sublingual is exactly truly the bullseye of our delivery methodology. But by achieving a multiple licking, instead of just squirting the allergy ingredients into your mouth where they're swallowed, and once they're swallowed, the stomach destroys the ingredients. So it has to be achieved at the mouth absorption level. But with the repeated licking, and dogs just love peanut butter, we've done actual studies, if you can believe it, Dr. Kristen and I, and we have our dogs, they're licking up the goo for 5 minutes, 6 minutes, 7 minutes, and with every lick, that mouth is just goo slathered with ingredients, and the bioavailability absorption is achieved.
That's phenomenal. And this is such a wonderful product. I'm going to get some immediately. I want you to tell us a little bit about what the ingredient actually is that helps. No, I know that it's the medium that it's carried into the system is by the peanut butter and the licking, but what is the medicine?
Well, yes, thank you. Doggy goo is focused on the multiple tiers of the immune system. And by that, I mean we have the first tier of defense of the immune system, which typically is your skin and the wet mucosal area of your mouth and all the way down, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. And we have natural ingredients that have been clinically shown to strengthen and balance the innate immune system tier. Then we move on to the intelligent acquired immune system tier, which is where the allergies reside. And the acquired immune system tier is called the intelligent tier because it has the memory. And actually, through the sublingual introduction of the allergy ingredients into the immune system, we are actually leveraging the adaptive power of the acquired immune system to recalibrate itself, to no longer see these pollens, dust mites, and moles as trouble, and therefore you achieve what we call allergy neutrality.
Oh, that's brilliant.
And finally is the gut. As we all know, the funny thing is you've heard the expression, trust your gut in making decisions, but if your gut is not healthy, you're not going to make good decisions.
Stephen, this is incredible. I would love for you to give us your website so that our listeners can go online and read more about this and learn more about this and definitely order this product because I think it's absolute genius. And I'm so glad you came on today. What is your URL?
Thank you.
Yes.
We are at doggygoo, G-O-O, doggygoo.com.
Excellent. And I hope you'll come back and talk to us some more. This is fascinating. Thank you so much. This is Deborah Martin for All Paws Pet Talk. We're just about to go to break, but don't go anywhere because we've got Karen Watts when we come back.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044, and tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio, or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Let's get together. Let's all make this work.
Deborah Martin, welcoming you back to All Paws Pet Talk. This is your one-stop radio festival for all things great and small. I bet you're thinking I'm going to burst into song now. Well, you never know your luck. I might later. But for now, I want to welcome my next guest. He's a very well-respected and renowned dog trainer. He specializes in something very interesting called gun dog training. Now, that sounds quite fascinating. Please welcome Martin Dealey. You there?
Hello there, Deborah. Yeah,
hi.
I can tell from the accent you know where a gun dog is, but we call them hunting dogs over here.
Oh, yes, indeed. I actually do know what a hunting dog is and a gun dog. You busted me. I often say I don't know what something is when I do, just to make good radio. And you're from the same neck of the woods as I am.
Yeah, nice to hear an English accent.
Yes, indeed. Where do you come from then?
I was born in Yorkshire, up in the north, the home of the Yorkshire terrorists.
Indeed.
But I lived in Poole in Dorset for 50 years, 40 years, 45 years, I don't know, a long time.
Yes, and in England, of course, we have a lot of dogs that run off and grab things and bring them back, and we have dogs that go and chase foxes, and we have all sorts of sports involved.
Yeah, well, that's how I got into dogs, to be honest, Deborah. It was one of those things. I was working at the University of College, in fact, and I was a lecturer there, and one of my chums said, do you want to go shooting? And I said, yes, please, and went there. He had a dog, and I fell in love with the dog. Got one myself, won a rosette, and once you win a rosette, you're hooked. That's it.
You're hooked indeed. Yes, indeed. So you actually, now is there a big need for this here? I'm assuming there must be in America.
Oh, yes. I mean, the Americans are very, very keen on hunting, and they have some damn good dogs over here. They really do. I mean, my big love was Spaniels at the time in England, and over here you don't get many what I call Springer Spaniels doing the work. They're very much more Labrador people and much more water dog people. A lot of duck shooting over here. And, of course, pointers are very popular, but I don't train pointers. I train the continental breed of pointers, Weimaraners, Munsterlanders, German Shorthairs, things like that. But the English pointer, no, I don't. I haven't really got the grounds to be able to do that, but it's a great dog to work over again.
Now, when you say a gun dog, are you talking about, is that sort of an over category that refers to every sort of working dog in that field, or are
no,
there specific...
No, well, it's a gun dog to me is a dog which works in the field. Either birds or rabbits. In England, we do a lot of rabbit hunting, of course, using spaniels, Cocker Spaniels, Springer Spaniels. Over here, a lot of the time with the rabbits, they're using beagles. And we use beagles in packs over England. So it's a little bit different, you know. But no, when you're wanting a dog for hunting to go out and pick up the birds or to find the birds for you before you actually get a chance of a shot, and then to pick them up and bring them back to you. That really is the gun dog breed, and it's just a tremendous sport. And people in America, a lot of people like in England, they have their companion dog, their pet dog, their family dog, and it's a Labrador, it's a Spaniel, it's a Munsterlander, whatever it is, and they like to go shooting 3 or 4 times a year maybe. So it's not a big thing, so they want a good friend who'll go out with them and enjoy their sport as well.
So what sort of characteristics do you look for then when you're looking for a really prime, you know, dog that can do this kind of work and still, of course, be a good companion as well, like you said?
Yeah, well, there's two sides, really. I mean, I do competition work as well. And sometimes for the American-style competition, you want a high-drive dog. And sometimes the dogs used to be a little bit too high-drive for the ordinary family man and his family as a companion dog. One of the things in England that we bred always was for a dog that would live in the family and go shooting and maybe go out on the hunting field, many times in the winter months. And so you had a dog which could, switch on and switch off. So I'm always looking for a dog which has got a nice temperament, trainable, physically correct, so it can do the work, and one that is one you enjoy being with.
Indeed. And you are also the founder of the International Association of Canine Professionals. That sounds like a fantastic organization, and you're going to have a conference in Orlando. Tell us a bit about that. What's your drive in that organization? What's your goal?
Well, what happened was there was a lot of talk once about restricting the ways in which we could train and the kind of tools we could use. And we had a lot of people who were saying, look, it's not the tools, it's the people that use them. We need to be able to educate people into using everything, and we need to be able to have more balance in training. And so I was asked by a group of people if I would set up and start the International Association of Canine Professionals, and with another aim as well, to bring together all canine professionals so we could, if you like, network and help each other. And if I've got a problem with a dog, it might be a veterinary problem that I need to put right before, in fact, I can do any training with it. You know, if it's got a urinary tract infection, you can't stop it peeing on the floor, even through housebreaking training. You know, so there's a lot of ways in which we can work together. It's been going now for 12 years, And we've got 1,350 members in 20 different countries.
Goodness, and they're members of all the different types, you know, trainers as well as yes. Do you have veterinary doctors and those kinds
yes,
of things
do.
As well?
Yes,
it sounds like
do.
A marvelous organization.
Yeah, we do. We have mainly trainers, I want to admit, because it's set up by trainers, and they seem to have kind of come to us. And but we do have many groomers, vet techs. Certainly we have some veterinarians as well, behaviorists. We have a variety of different professions, and, of course, some people who do a variety of jobs just the one person themselves.
Indeed.
But it's a great organization for helping each other. We find it a very, very good support group.
So, Martin, I just noticed you're Martin Dealey and I'm Deborah Martin.
We must be related.
You'll have to forgive me. I know it's one of those days today. I just wondered how gun dog training differs from ordinary training. I mean, obviously, there are similarities, but are there also differences?
It's a little bit more complex, really. I think to me, every type of good dog comes from basic obedience. A foundation of getting a nice dog which wants to be with you, wants to work with you, and understands exactly what you're asking of it. So it's got boundaries, it's got limitations. But the other thing with a gun dog is we're teaching it to retrieve. We're teaching it to work with us. So you've got a working companion. You've got a dog that wants to join with you with a job. And as soon as you do that, you know, you create a different relationship. So you want a dog which is not independent, but one that says, yes, I'm willing to work with you. I'm willing to be a partner. But at times you've got to be able to say to it, look, you know better than me. You've got a better nose than I have. You've maybe got better ears and eyes than I have at where you are at the moment. So now it's your job. And we let that dog use its natural instincts to work. And you know what? You watch a dog working using its own natural instincts. And what shall I say? It turns you on. It really does. The hair on the back of your neck stands up.
I know exactly what you mean. I used to have a Wiesla growing up, and I'll never forget when I took her to the park once, and she suddenly stopped in her tracks and crooked one of her legs, and I thought she was broken. I thought, I better take her back to the shop and get my money back. There's something wrong with her. And then, of course, came to realize that she's a pointer, and that she was just a young puppy. She was only about 4 months old, little, lovely little thing, and she was already pointing at squirrels. So the instinct is very important.
Oh, yes. You'll find them at that age pointing at dragonflies, frogs on the floor, grasshoppers, you know. And it is gorgeous to watch. It's bred into them. So when you're looking for a working dog, you're always looking for the right background. You know, the kind of, if you see the mum and dad and look at the ancestors behind them, grandmothers, grandfathers, if you can, and I've been lucky enough to do that, then you get an idea of the kind of dog you're going to get, you know. And so it really is. It's important to find a dog that matches what you want, but also a dog that you can live with the rest of your life and really like, because they're going to be part of your life.
Exactly. Now, I see that you are an author, quite renowned indeed, and that you wrote the foreword to Cesar Millan's first book. How did you get, I don't want to say get roped in to do that.
I didn't get roped in. I love him. He's a very good, what happened was, before he even got the television shows, I was sent a DVD and said, Martin, could you have a little look at this, please, and tell me what you think about this Mexican guy? And I watched the first video, and I went, I like him. He's great. They said, well, everybody's criticizing him, pulling him apart. And I said, no. This guy is great. You might have to put a little sign up saying, don't do this. Help, you know.
Don't do this at home, yeah.
That's right. But nevertheless, let him show, because he'll bring people to the dog world. He'll make people more understanding of what a dog requires.
Exactly.
And so we became good friends. And he said, look, I've got a book coming along with Melissa Peltier. And who was like a ghostwriter for him. And Melissa and I got on well together, and they said, would you like to write a foreword? So I said, I'd love to. So I did. And then they asked me to be an advisor to the second on the third book. And then he actually wrote the foreword to the revision of my book called Working Gun Dogs. And he was very cheeky, though. He said I was a lot older.
Oh, cheeky, indeed.
I'm telling you. He said I was a lot older than him. Well, I think I am, but I didn't want to admit it, you know.
No, that's one of the secrets that we like to keep, isn't it?
Even us boys do.
That's right. We can fudge by decades. And why shouldn't we, our age, right? Well, Martin, give us your website, because I know that you give a lot of incredible and interesting information. And how do our listeners just find out more about you and about the work you do and about working dogs and hunting dogs?
Interesting. I get letters from all over the world every day, really. And if you go to floridadogtrainer.com, you'll see there is even a contact there, so you can write me a little message and ask me a question if you wish to. floridadogtrainer.com.
Well, lovely to have you on the show, Martin. We have enjoyed it very much. I've certainly enjoyed a fellow countryman. We're just about to go to break, but don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with Karen Watts.
Squeaky deaky, I love my squeaky toy. Squeaky deaky, it makes me jump for joy. Squeaky deaky, roll it on the ground.
Welcome back to The Sixth Sense for Pets, brought to you by All Paws Pet Talk. I'm Deborah Martin. I'm your host for today. We've been having lots of chats with wonderful and interesting pet psychics, exploring the fascinating world beyond and animals that communicate telepathically. And my guest now is Karen Watts. Now, Karen is a lifelong animal friend and a host of the website petoftheday.com, which is a website that celebrates interesting stories, and I hope she's going to bring us one. I'm sure you will. Hello, Karen. How are you?
Good, good. Here in the rainy, rainy northeast.
Oh, whereabouts are you calling from?
I'm right outside of Boston.
Oh, well, you've got different weather than me then, because I'm in steamy, sultry, wet, horrid, humid Florida. But it's only horrid for a little while longer, then it'll be really, really nice for a long time. So we're looking forward to that. So,
yeah,
Karen, tell us
about
your
website. That's probably about when I'll get snow.
Oh, you'll get snow. Yes, that's right. And we'll get lovely, sunny, beautiful 75 balmy days. So do tell us about your website, petoftheday.com.
Yes, we've been running petoftheday.com since September 1st, 1997, so for quite a long time. And every day it's a new photo of someone's pet and a story about why their pet is special to them.
Oh, brilliant. Do you have a story that comes to mind as being an extra special one? I know they're all special, but tell
us
some of them.
All, of course, quite special to their people. A lot of the times, people will send in, you know, even if they have six dogs, they'll send in the story of the dog that was rescued or was neglected. Mm. Or, you know, the other day we had Lucy, who was dog of the day, and she was dog of the day on August 12th. And she was just found at the shelter and is a terrier mix, and they don't know how she ended up there. But now she is her person's best friend. She's his wake-up call, his workout buddy, his lunch date,
fantastic.
And teddy bear at bedtime.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. Do you put a lot of dogs that have been rescued? Do you find a lot of rescues?
We, you know, like I said, if people have six dogs, they'll nominate the one dog that's the rescue with the sad story. Somehow that seems to be the dog that they'll, of all their dogs, the one they'll pick.
Well, it's not that dissimilar to humans, really, is it? Because when we've had an interesting life, we sort of become, what's the word for it? You know, we become like steel. We're encased in interesting stories. So maybe that's why. Maybe the dog has an air of mystery, like a sultry woman, you know.
That's right.
I don't know what I'm babbling on about. Do stop me anytime.
Well, it's often people will write to me and say, "What do you think? What kind of dog do you think my dog is?" Or they'll say, because I've, you know, run a pet website for years, they'll ask questions like, "Why does my dog do this?" Or, "Why does my rescue dog, you know, only bark at blue cars?"
Exactly. And that's actually a question for, I've been chatting with some interesting pet psychics, and that would be a case of calling in the pet psychic and just sit down with the dog and say, "Hey, buddy, why do you bark at blue cars?" You know?
Yes, especially because, you know, dogs don't see color like we see them, but I tell them that's all the joy of owning a shelter pet, because you never know what is in their background.
Exactly, exactly. Can you bring to mind one that touched your heart?
Oh, so many, so many touch my heart. Gosh, you know, I love the stories of the one that really was amazing. The only story I've ever had to edit for length was years ago, and it was a llama who was tethered today, and his name was Mancha. And that was way back in January of 1999. And his owner had a dog who was unfortunately a prey-driven dog.
Oh.
And Naku, the Malamute, ended up attacking the llama. And the llama ended up, you know, being severely injured.
Oh.
The owner, though, was wonderful, took the llama into her house to care for him.
Oh, my Lord. Wow.
And he slept with the cats and played with the donkey and the goats and everything, you know.
And he healed. He healed up.
He healed up. He's missing an ear.
Oh.
But he's now 8 years old and a father. And even the dog, who the Malamute, ended up with a happy story, too. Because she knew, you know, he had, unfortunately, before he attacked the llama, he had killed a couple of chickens. So she knew that he was completely prey-driven.
Mm-hmm.
So she worked very hard and found a couple with no children and no other pets, and he went to live with them to be an only dog and was perfectly happy.
Oh, that's brilliant. And the llama got to be incredibly interesting and unique and sort of lopsided. They could get him an interesting hat, you know, and just have one ear poking through. That would be great. Now, I understand I'm so sorry. Please forgive me if I'm stepping on you. I'm having trouble hearing you. So
that's okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, I know you have a cat. I believe it's not just a dog website, is it? You've got lots of different pets.
Yes, we have. We started Pet of the Day in 1997, and we got so many dogs and cats nominated that they were kind of overwhelming, you know, the bunnies and the budgies and the llamas.
Right.
So now we do dogoftheday.com and catoftheday.com as well as petoftheday.com.
Interesting.
So even, anybody who's not a dog or a cat gets to be on petoftheday.com as long as it's not a human.
That's phenomenal. And cats are very different, aren't they, to dogs? I'm sure you find them quite unique and different.
They're very different. And, you know, tying in with the sixth sense for pets, one of the things people talk a lot about with their cats is that they are quite sure that their cats see ghosts.
Oh, goodness. Well, I think that's a subject for next week, because we're just about to take a break. So I want to thank you so much for your good work that you do, petoftheday.com and catoftheday.com. And we'll definitely have you back on, because I'm fascinated by the subject of pets that see ghosts, and mine do it. Mine chase them around the house. So we'll have you back for that.
Excellent. I'll talk to you then.
All right, Karen, thank you so much for joining us. And this is Deborah Martin. I'm just winding up today. This is The Sixth Sense for Pets, brought to you by All Paws Pet Talk. And we will be back again. So you will look for us, join us, and come and visit some more and hear about strange and wonderful things. Okay, bye-bye.
Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has, or you suspect they might have, an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.